We are all being way more thoughtful about our cultural choices at the moment, whether that be going vegan for a month, avoiding fur, or opting for plastic-free veggies at the supermarket. Shout out to my husband being a vegetarian his whole life. But Liz Earle has always been way ahead of the curve, even more so than my husband. Since they were founded in 1995, they've worked with leading botanists to ensure that they have the highest quality and cruelty-free formulas on the market. All of Liz Earle's products are approved under the Cruelty-Free International Leaping Bunny Program. So if you want to extend your cruelty-free mindset, then head over to LizEarle.com and put in Laura15 at the checkout to receive an exclusive 15% discount. Yes, please. That's available from the 20th of Jan to the 30th of March only. Thank you very much, Liz Earle. Hello, I'm Laura Jackson, broadcaster, interiors fanatic, food lover and founder of Host. And this is my new podcast. It's a running joke amongst friends that I am forever the host and never the hosted. 27 dresses, anyone? Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love rustling up a modern day vol au-vent and putting the fizz on ice. But this series, I'm handing over the apron strings instead and inviting some guests spanning food, travel and interiors to host me. Whether it be at their house, their local coffee spot, or even in their favourite hotel room. So join us on the sofa for a cuppa, or in the sitting room, lounge, dining room, bath, whatever you fancy, but obviously with a glass of something alcoholic. And of course, please bring some snacks. If you want to know all about their hosting secrets, dinner party dishes, their little black book for restaurants, their insider holiday spots, or even where they shop for vintage interior finds. Basically, if you're a nosy parker like me, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Hosting Laura Jackson, the Host Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Host Podcast. Today I'm being hosted by Raven Smith. Now, I think Raven is one of the funniest people on Instagram at the moment. His posts highlight the hilarity of everyday life in a whip-smart, tongue-in-cheek Raven Smith kind of way. His charm and quick-witted journalism has landed him a job as contributor at British Vogue and more recently columnist at the Sunday Times Style. However, this year, Raven releases his debut book, Trivial Pursuit, which I'm quite excited about reading. After 3 years of casual saving, and I'm saying that in inverted commas, and by that I mean he's still going on long-distance holidays, he's ready to renovate his first house. So today he's hosting me at his favourite restaurant, which also happens to be one of my favourite restaurants. It's called Quo Vadis. It's in Soho in London. And I know that Raven absolutely loves a sweet treat, so I'm hoping he's got me a slice of cake or something. That would be nice. Hello?
Hi!
Hi! Oh, you've ordered dessert! I'm
How
so happy!
You?
I'm great! How are you?
I'm great,
thank you.
Nice to see you.
You too.
What have you ordered me?
Oh, it's some cakes that I love. It's a dessert that I can't stop eating. It just looks nice.
It's like I feel like it's an
It's almondy.
Almond cake.
I feel like it's flourless.
Yes. When you order almond cake now, they're always like, have you got any allergies?
Yeah.
Like, calm down, I'm not going to pass out.
Oh my God.
Quo Vadis.
Quo Vadis, the wonderful Quo Vadis. You know I'm on the committee. Yeah.
Darling, yeah. Really?
It's the one.
It is the one.
Yeah.
It's expensive. Hang on, if you're listening and you don't know what Quo Vadis is.
Quo Vadis is it has a public restaurant downstairs. And it's private.
Public.
Riffraff. There's a hoi polloi restaurant downstairs, and then up here is the club. So we have a restaurant, some function rooms. It's really nice because Soho's can be too much all the time. Mm. Like when it's really busy at like 6 o'clock in the summer and the streets are packed and it's just always a haven. Just come up here for a little tipple.
And the food, generally.
The food is next level. I think the food has the best of all the clubs around here. And I am biased, but I'm not just saying that.
Because you're on the committee.
Yeah. But I just think it's like good British grub. I feel like I've downplayed it.
It's amazing. Just yeah. Jeremy Lee is one of... he's an amazing chef.
Yeah.
Yet, like you say, he does really great British food.
Yeah.
He's kind of quite famous for his pie. He does a pie
special. There's a daily pie every day. And I live for the omelette, which is on the bar menu. It's like the perfect... an aperitivo. So after work, before you go out, an omelette and a little drink is very...
eggy.
It's very eggy. Eggs keep you going all night, don't they?
They're excellent.
They are
Not
at all exaggerated.
Are you, I hate this word, but are you a foodie?
I don't know. Yes. No. I feel like I have to... I'm a writer and I don't write that much about food. It's a weird one because food culture is culture in the same way fashion is culture. Aside from it, they all contribute to the culture. I read something that said like 10% of a great restaurant is the food and the rest is like how you feel, the other people that are there, the mood of it. And that's the bit... I mean, I love that.
10%, that is... Sorry, where was this written?
But there's a lot of great restaurants that crash because they're not run by restaurateurs. It's actually, like, it's not just about making great grub.
Do you cook at home?
Cooking is my therapy. It's the only moment in my day when the world disappears.
What's
apart
the
from when I'm shagging. So, can we say that? No. So it's the only time that I'm not... I get so completely lost in cooking. I love it. But like proper mindfulness, like just, I like having to concentrate on all of the dishes, et cetera, et cetera. I've just moved in, I've just been renovating my house. It's been 3 years and we've got, we inherited a rubbish oven and we've just only been hob cooking essentially. I haven't made a cake for 3 years and I used to like make a cake every week.
Master baker.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
Not quite, not Bake Off level, but like jolly cakes.
What's a Raven dish?
Oh my God, what a great question. My relationship can be measured in dishes. So things that I used to make all the time. So when I first met my husband, I basically didn't eat carbs at all. So I only ate like broccoli and eggs at night, which is really weird. And then we went through this phase.
Sorry. Talk to me about that. You only ate broccoli and eggs.
Yeah, because I was just like... I just felt like it was a healthy meal. I was coming out of being a student. But I was coming out of being a student, so not eating very well at all and just trying to reintroduce vegetables in some real way. Broccoli has always been the key to unlocking it.
Oh, my God.
But so with my husband, we went through this really great, like, shepherd's pie phase. Mm-hmm. It was about 6 months where we both just was really settling into the relationship and eating really, like, big pot dinners. It's
what
good.
Did that mean about? So hang on. So what does that mean about your relationship? If you're judging it, on
I wanted. I honestly think I wanted more commitment, and I knew my husband's a man of the stomach. Like he follow a good meal, and it wasn't conscious. Like I'm going to cook to make him fall in love with me, but that's what happened.
So what was the dish that you think you got him to fall in love with you, and then what did you cook when he had fallen in love with you? What dish does that represent?
It was like a shepherd's pie, but it also had cauliflower cheese on the top.
Wow.
Yeah. It was... I made that loads when we were first together. Yeah, and then I went through this really big phase. I was reading Bon Appetit all the time, and I kept this salmon dish that I make all the time now, which is basically like roast salmon with tarragon, and then like tarragon potatoes and horseradish cream, and we just... Like, it takes us back to like... I don't want
young
to say
love.
Salad days, literally.
Salad days.
Yeah.
Who are your favourite chefs then? Because actually, Bon Appetit is quite a niche magazine. Not maybe if you're American, but if you're British.
I think they've kicked off at like a millennial level recently.
Yeah.
Their staff have like bajillions of followers now with the Test Kitchen. I think Condé Nast have been really smart in developing millennial versions of their main brand, so Healthy-ish and Teen Vogue.
And I think Alison Roman has been a massive kind of flag flyer for them. She writes for them and she's got her second cookbook out and she's been a real advocate.
Yeah, I was just thinking about cookbooks. I bought the New Yorker, like the encyclopedia of cooking, and this woman in like 2005 remade everything. So it's like recipes from the 30s all the way through, and she remade everything. She's like, it was the worst 18 months of my life. And there was my favourite recipe in it is called a club sandwich, and it's when you go to a club like this, drink 3 drinks, have a sandwich and drink 3 more drinks. They're like, that's
no
the sandwich.
No way.
yeah. But most of the recipes are pretty legit. They have this amazing baked pancake recipe. So every pancake day, when we had an oven, we will have this. It's like a Dutch oven pancake.
A Dutch oven.
Yeah. So it's like.
I'm sorry, I didn't lie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But you basically bake it. And it rises and then you can cut it into like chunks to eat. It's really good.
We should put this book in the show notes because it sounds very good.
Yeah, it's the New Yorker Encyclopedia of Cooking.
Okay.
My copy I bought off eBay and it's an old library copy. So I feel like a lot of people have fingered it.
Oh. How many can we get in?
It's on. It's beginning.
So, I mean, you're a great host.
Yeah.
Because you are flamboyant,
sure,
and energetic.
Yeah.
But who is the host in your house? Is it you or Richard, your husband?
We are equally.
No, there's never an equal.
It's me.
Okay.
Well, I'm the one who's always thinking ahead. He's very of the moment, mm-hmm, and really good at what's in, like tackling what's in front of him. And I'm the one who's like, next summer I want to have a summer party. How are we going to get there?
Oh God, me and you would get on great.
Yeah.
I'm already like, so I need to plant some like flowers so that when people come around for this garden party that they'll really enjoy the tulips.
We had a really great Mexican party. I actually don't like to cook anything too fussy for people. So we do fish finger tacos, which is really a piece of piss, really. You basically just have loads of bowls of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you just are watching the fish fingers in the oven and then everyone can just compile their own little moon of happiness.
I feel like I need to get this recipe for a host post. Fish finger taco.
Yeah. It's basically like Baja fish tacos.
Love
but you
that.
Don't have to fuck about with the fish
with bird
at
dye.
All. Yeah. But it's quite a good one. I mean, I just, in our house, fish fingers just had a renaissance. I just can't get enough of them at the moment.
Yeah, I love a fish finger. Unfortunately, my husband is vegetarian. But tell me about your Mexican party, because I love getting ideas and tips. I'm sure everyone
does. So I did a Palermo
well.
Cocktail, like a yes. long one. When I left my old work, they gave me a jug that was like a giant cock, literally.
Oh.
So like a man chicken.
Sounds gorgeous.
And when you pour it, it's like he's throwing up in your cup. It's amazing. It's from Liberty. It's very chic, really, but it's a really good gift. So we did drinks, and I did... what are the big... Tortillas are the big ones.
Yeah.
I cut those into strips and then bake them in the oven. Then you have those with guacamole. So
yes.
just do my... Yeah, you've got that tip already. Mm-hmm. And then we did fish finger tacos. And I also, from this company in somewhere in North London, they do tamales. So they do frozen tamales that you can buy. And then I just did tamales. Yeah.
Did you tell everyone you made them?
No.
Oh, you should have done.
And I got really paranoid about the chicken once, but, you know, everyone was fine. I was really worried and I was like, fuck it.
Everyone's like, this is still cold in the middle. It's fine,
yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah,
get
it's
them a
cold
drink.
Chicken.
Get the big cock
You've
out, get them a drink.
Yeah.
Did you do decorations?
No, it was basically like a sort of late housewarming. So this was like 3 years ago and it was a chance to get everyone together. I think what happens when you hit your 30s, the boiling point of your 30s, is you don't, like, mooch. You don't just hang out not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're always doing something. Mm. So it was a chance for us to all be together. You kind of have to organise to all be together.
I mean, you bought your house 3 years
Nearly 4 years ago. Ooh, and on the first night, I tore out all the floors. I took up all the laminate, apart from in the bedroom. And then for 3 years, we lived...
On the floor?
We lived with our shoes on because... Like little mushrooms of nail just eat your socks if you walk around our house without shoes. So shoes are up to the bed, which is very sexy.
Very sexy. In the bed? Where is it?
It's Camberwell.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we lived in Camberwell in a flat, which we loved for a year and a half. I was an East London boy through and through, 15 years in Dalston. Just mm-hmm. like, I like to say local God, but you'll have to speak to my disciples. But we lived there. I loved it there. Thought I'd never leave. I was like, I'm either going really far east or I'm going south. Went to see a place south and just knew it was the one. 17 minutes to Farringdon. I lived off that little fact for like a year. It's only 17 minutes to Farringdon. It's fine. But now I just wouldn't go anywhere else. And just as we were getting to thinking, so a year and a half there, getting to thinking, do we want to have kids? Do we have space for kids? And I was like, I don't want... We've just... realised Camberwell is the one. I'm not leaving.
Okay.
So we moved into a house that's ready for us when we want kids, when we're going to have kids, which is like 5-6 years away.
I mean, renovating is hell.
Yeah. We're just in month 4 of not living there. So we've been out for...
So you're out.
I'm out, yeah.
So what are you having done?
Ooh. So basically, the first summer we were there, we got a new roof, which is the most expensive thing you can't see when you're standing in your house.
How annoying is it when you're like, I've spent all this money on plumbing and electrics and a roof, and you spent so much
money. It's invisible.
No one can see it.
Yeah, I was just saying to someone, you literally get to this very weird, not delusion, but like you get to this weird mantra where... Everything in your house is either something you touch all the time, so you should spend money on it, something you look at all the time, so you should spend money on it, or something invisible that keeps your house going, so you should spend money on it. So you end up with this thing of like...
Isn't that everything?
I should spend money on everything. Yeah. So trying to work out where to pull back. to get me back in the house has probably been the hardest thing of the last couple of months.
How, I mean, I remember reading your Sunday Times column that talked about the Instagram anxiety that surrounds interiors, and which I definitely feel. What do you think is the most anxiety-inducing part of renovating?
Oh, I think the money.
Yeah.
But it becomes oblique. You literally can't, I can't, it's just numbers now. Mm. I'm just like, I just want to go home. Mm. What are we going to do? How are we going to get there?
Yeah, it is so stressful.
And I was like, we only need one radiator. Come on, we only need one. It's like, well, that's not the smartest way to get back into your house.
I mean, I spent so much time like researching radiators and sockets. Yeah. I'm like, who am I? I used to be out. Partying, and now I'm looking at sockets.
I think I lost 4 or 5 days on and off to taps. I mean, it's a
eBay.
It's a tap market, isn't it? It's a taps market.
It's honestly all about secondhand for me.
I bought loads of eBay taps, and we went all out on a kitchen tap. It took so long to find a tap that fit in with what we wanted, a wall tap, because Victorians didn't have fucking wall taps.
How annoying! Like, can I just say, like,
they never had them.
Isn't it mental how you get so fixated on stuff? I'm really fixated on a stair at the moment, and it's all I can think about. It's a fucking runner. Who cares?
I know. But it means so something. Annoying. It has so much meaning. It's an expression of yourself. The same as your clothes. It's like meaningful and meaningless at the same time. It's not that I want it to look money. I want it to look like I thought about it.
And expensive.
I've been driving my architect mad by saying I want it to look like it's been here forever. It's really hard to shop that.
It's really impossible. I found trying to make things look old without them looking recycled.
Distressed.
Or vintage or upcycled or
like 90s jeans.
It's
looking
really
like
hard.
They've been sandpapered on the thigh,
because it's like how do you do that? It's crazy.
I found these tiles. They're in a stately home in wherever, and
you took
I was
them.
Like someone, I just chipped them off. No, and I was like, someone help me find these tiles. And everyone's like, these are cheap, basic white tiles after 100 years. That's what you're looking for. Like, we have a romanticism about certain places we've stayed, certain places we've been. And I just wanted the bathroom to be like this, like, luxury abattoir. And it's not going to be like that at all now. Because cheap tiles look really cheap.
Yeah.
It's really weird when you're doing a house, because you have this one thing in your mind that you think where it's heading. And I was like, we've got this galley kitchen and everything is focused on this back end. We've spent loads of money on a big, like, crittle style doors.
Yeah.
Big iron doors. This is it. And then halfway through, I was like, the configuration just wasn't working. I was like, we just need to put something on. One of these things needs to go on the other side of the room. That's
It's hard, isn't it? Oh, this is going to make you laugh. What is your most overtyped word into Pinterest?
Oh, I don't actually know. That's such a good... probably tiles. Sphere wall lights.
Sphere wall lights.
I always type sphere wall lights into Pinterest and Google and eBay 1,000 times a week.
Found them yet?
That's an exaggeration. I actually was trying to copy some floss lights that I loved. Now we're buying the floss lights.
You've got that.
It was just, you spend a lot of time trying to circumnavigate the easiest answer, mm-hmm. which is you're just going to have to pay for the thing you really, mm-hmm. that you've had your heart on. I think it's really difficult when you don't want a uniform house. Like, I love the idiosyncrasies of my, I'm really good with a space. I can walk into a room and a house and make it really nice. But having the carte blanche to do it all from scratch was overwhelming. The most terrifying. Like, but you can do anything.
Mm.
For me, like, as someone who is commissioned to write and asked to do stuff, the confines create the creativity. The creative is the way to circumnavigate the tiny budget, or circumnavigate or get my story into this story that I'm writing about high heels. So I like puzzling that stuff out, but just to have you can do whatever you want was just stressful, really stressful.
I mean, we didn't want a kitcheny kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
You've got a floor on your... Have you not got a reclaimed floor as your cupboards?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I think that's cool.
Yeah, but after a while, we were like, we don't want a kitcheny kitchen, but we want a dishwasher. I want to cook in it. I want the doors to work. I want it to be functioning. That's a kitchen.
What's a kitcheny kitchen?
Just, like, loads of units.
Yeah. We were the same. I just don't know. And there was a delay on our back doors. So we are moving back in with no back doors for like 6 months. They're like, it's just a boarded up.
And your dresses.
End, plastered right up to the board. Yeah. Someone tried to break in on Christmas Eve Eve. Yeah. They kicked the key box off the wall, took it away to open it, came back, couldn't work the keys in the door. So they just broke them up. They had the keys to our house and they couldn't get in.
That's ridiculous.
They started kicking the door. My neighbour woke up. We went back from our friend's house. They smashed a window just in anger.
Oh, God.
Honestly, though, you have to be pretty stupid to not get through a door when you've got the two of the keys in your hand. And then make so much noise that you wake up the neighbours.
I love that you spent 3 years saving. Casual saving. Because you still want to go on your long-distance holidays.
Still going to Mexico, etc. I mean, yeah.
Where's your favourite place to travel?
I loved Mexico. I've got a real urge to go back at the moment. I couldn't really take it all in. And you know, Contramar, so the restaurant that everyone goes to and just keeps talking about, was closed for 4 days, the 4 days that I was in Mexico City.
Closed between
Christmas and New Year.
Okay, so we went 2 years ago. I've been four times to Mexico City. Yeah. It's my favourite city in the world. And the last time we went with some friends and we went between that Christmas and New Year period and so much was closed. Everyone goes out of the city and they go to the beaches.
It's full of Mexican people that don't live in Mexico City. So it's loads of Mexican tourists doing tourist stuff, but none of them live there.
Okay, so you couldn't go to Contramar. Where else did you go?
I can't remember. A Mexican friend of mine.
So continental.
He said, come for brunch. So we went to this brunch and it was phenomenal. I don't remember anything. I started drinking mezcal after my first taco. And then, the mezcal has like a Christian cross at the bottom, some of the glasses, but only some. So I was like, I've seen God. It was it was magical. It was one of those places that had loads of limes in the urinal, which I always think is a sign of a quality establishment.
Fresh lime?
Yeah.
Not
they
the
do it at Chilton.
Do they?
Yeah. God. Like a mojito.
God. That's so
I've only
disgusting.
Seen it twice, and I'm like, they got the lovely posh bits.
Oh my God. So where do you want to go next? Because I know you love traveling.
Belize. I wanted to go for like 5-6 years, and I'm just trying to. You basically can't fly directly there from the UK. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. I am actively pursuing it this year.
Are you, what
and by
it?
That I mean pitching it as a story. Yeah. I really want to do it.
I mean, what is it called when you like protect, manifest?
Manifest Belize.
Oh my God, honestly.
Dear listeners, it's been a long help few me weeks. Manifest Belize. Well, they have this thing called the Big Blue Hole, which is apparently where the meteor hit that killed a fragment of the meteor hit that killed off the dinosaurs. So it's this giant hole in the sea.
Is that your pitch?
Loads of divers die there because it's like a really popular. It's like a warren, very deep.
Yeah.
But you basically fly over that in a little plane and then do like short dives. And the Coppolas have a resort there, which it looks phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Like beach cabins.
Can I come with you? Let's do a story together. It sounds great. Okay. Where do you find out about all of the places that you want to visit? Is it Instagram, magazines?
No, well, magazine. I would say The New Yorker and T Magazine are the ones that I read for, like, cultural ideas, I guess.
What draws
when
you
I'm
in?
When I'm thinking I'm going to go on holiday, I will already be thinking about Belize and maybe going back to Mexico. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I won't be like, I wonder where I'm going to go this year.
Are you into like snazzy hotels?
I don't mind, but I just really live for character. So I don't need it to be rich people's character, yeah. Even though I love Edition Hotel. I mean, I love it. I also think Soho House hotels have the best provision of all hotels. Like, I never have ever had to once ring down to the concierge. You just walk, everything just, the convenience of it is brilliant. We stayed in downtown LA in November, and it was like, I don't have to think about anything, which was great. But when we went to Puerto Escondido, so there's a place called, do you know Casa Tiny?
That place is amazing.
Phenomenal. So it's a concrete
box.
It's on
Airbnb, isn't it?
It's on Airbnb. Yeah. It's €70 a night, so it's kind of like, I mean, it's so beautiful. You're not getting a lot for your money. There's no heating. There's one 50s fan next to the bed, but you have, it basically looks like a shed, and then it has wooden slat doors that open out, and the table goes all the way. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've never stayed anywhere like that in my whole life, and there wasn't a sniff of aircon. Do you know what I mean? It's not, it wasn't comfortable. It was brilliant.
Is there a chef that kind of cooks for you there?
No, so they have at the there's a hotel.
The port is
like
the...
10 Porto Escondido or Hotel Escondido, which is like 10 minutes walk down this like completely dark track away. We were there for New Year's. It was great.
Oh, that coastline is my favourite. We spent quite a bit of time on the Oaxacan coast at a place called Manzunte.
Yeah.
And that was incredible. I don't know why anyone goes to the Yucatan coast. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's so busy.
Have you ever been to Barbados? So there's a surf side. And then there's like the Cancun side, and then the Puerto Escondido side, the Oaxacan side.
Yeah.
And I loved... Barbados was the first time we ever went abroad that wasn't my house in France.
Hang on a minute. Okay, I'd forgot. You've got a place in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Because when we met in Cornwall, you were like, I've just been on my parents' boat. And I was like, fuck off.
Oh, I know. I don't know how this is my life.
You're a rich person.
No.
I don't believe it.
No, neither do I anymore. Our circumstances changed. I can't explain it better than that. There's a whole chapter.
Rags to riches.
There is a whole chapter in my book about this like duality of being like growing up poor but not living poor now. It's just a weird thing that's happened to me. I can't explain it better than that.
Yeah, I was on my boat.
I was on my stepdad's boat. It's a floating caravan, but I always downplay it. It's a boat. I mean,
it's a gorgeous boat. So where's your house in France? Because you go down there a lot.
South of France. It's a place called Roquebrune. It used to be only accessible via Marseille, which is about 2-hour drive. So it was really rural and remote. And now you can fly on easy squeezy jet about 20 minutes away. It's changed completely.
Sounds amazing, though.
It's phenomenal. It's like 4 shoeboxes in like... Imagine a castle, a tiny room in a castle. It's like 4 of those on top of each other with open staircases between them. So it sleeps 4 adults, but you can't have sex without someone else hearing. So we normally don't go with other adults. It's not very like private. It's not that safe for kids, but it's a bolt hole. It's been such a like, I've been there so many times just to work. So my parents have had it since I was 14. I've been there so many times and it's just rained and rained and rained. So I think of it as where I read The March of Margarita, where I read Cavalier and Clay. Like, it has really good literary memories for me too.
Just memories.
So you literally just read.
Yeah.
Like, wherever else I go, I'm like, we really should go to Contramar. We really should go to the Natural History Museum of Mexico. Whereas France is like, we switch off straight away.
How many times have you turned left?
What do you mean? Once. By absolute fluke on a flight to Austin on a work trip where I booked into premium economy because it was the same price as extra legroom normal seats, which I would never fly long haul without extra legroom. Like, I don't think I could ever do it.
He won't do it.
I won't do it. And they bumped me up to business. It was fab. It was really fab. I lay down.
The whole flight. I'm not
actually,
moving.
On the way to Japan, something similar happened. Japan was... crazy. I was there for 72 hours. And let me tell you, you don't get jet lag if you never go to sleep. I just stayed. I was like, there's no point going to sleep. I'm here for 72 hours.
What were you doing?
I might as well just stay awake. Singing karaoke with no microphone. I think whenever you travel, you should always go to a local McDonald's and try the local delicacies. So we went to the...
Top tip.
So we went and had like carbonara fries.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You are one of my favourite people to follow on Instagram.
Thanks.
It's kind of exploded. I mean, a lot has happened from Instagram, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, not that you're not a brilliant journalist, but your Instagram is so funny, it's quick, it's witty.
Yeah, it's such shorthand for what I'm like. And I think loads more people are getting behind it, getting into it.
Yeah.
It literally just... It's the perfect medium for me because it's short form and visual and I can be witty.
Yeah.
It's like it just grew with it.
Do you have a filter? Do you kind of say, oh, actually, that's a bit harsh or not?
I don't think I'm that harsh. And I like to think that I don't put loads of hate out because there's a lot of hate out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognise that hot takes are... We are becoming a society of witty asides.
So the book...
Yes.
So exciting.
It's coming.
I really like the cover.
Good.
I love it.
That's so funny. So we basically, when you do a book, you have a first cover. So you say, oh, cover to be revealed, and your just has text on it. And then right before the book comes out, you reveal the second cover. And we were doing all these text trials, and I was like, it feels flat. And my designer read two chapters of the book. I was like, I've got an idea, and sent me that cover, and we signed it off in 10 minutes. I was like, that's it.
We never
tweaked it. It's the first time there was a visual on the cover, and I was like, that's it.
Wow. So when's it out?
April the 2nd.
So exciting.
Available at all good bookstores. And also, you have every book that's published in Britain goes into the British Library forever.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Raven, finally, I need your favourite place for brunch, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, my God. When anyone ever asks me where they should eat, I say Brasserie Zadel, because when they're like, oh, my mom's vegetarian and my dad's got one leg, and I'm like, go to Zadel, they look after you, it doesn't matter what your things are, they will just feed you really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of the dining room on the Titanic. I don't really like brunch. I get quite funny about it,
but you eat omelets.
I know, but for dinner, for lunch.
Who eats an omelette for dinner?
I don't know. Who pays 15 quid for eggs in the morning? I'd say, like, go to the shop, man. I really can't. I can't square it off.
Okay. Dinner?
Dinner. I want to say Quo Vadis. I actually also love duck soup.
Mm-hmm.
Duck soup is just... Do you remember when they had the other premises and it sank into the floor? They've been through so much.
Yeah.
The little pickery is really good. At the moment, I'm gagging to eat a duck soup.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you so
much.
That's
the end.
Oh, it's been so nice to chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
No.
Buy the book.
That's it.
Whee!
This has been Hosting Laura Jackson, the host podcast. If you liked it, I really hope you did. Please rate and review. But most importantly, subscribe and tell all of your friends as well. Don't forget to join us next week for another cup of tea, a glass of wine, or maybe three tequilas on the rocks. Yes, please.